I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is a podcast about the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. It contains moments of violence, profanity, and uncensored racism. It may not be suitable for all audiences.
So who was Ahmaud Arbery? And for that, we're going to start with Demetrius Frazier, his cousin, and one of his closest friends. Frazier is furious about Ahmaud's death, and he's also grief-stricken.
I lost somebody very important to me, somebody I love dearly, somebody that I would give the heart of my chest for, you know, if they needed one. And they did a lot of damage with this one, and it's something that's definitely going to stick with me for the rest of my life.
Demetrius tells me about the sort of leader Ahmaud was when the two were playing high school football, how Ahmaud never quit, how he inspired teammates not to quit, how he always made the big play. Ahmaud excelled at linebacker, not because he was big, not because he was a powerful athlete. What he had, Demetrius said, was heart, more than any other player on the field.
So Coach Floyd, you know, he get us going, got our bodies warmed up, but you kind of drained from a long day of class. You know, you might have had made a bad grade on the test. Something might have ruined your day. But when you got to practice and you were on defense with Mark, he got us pumped up. But his work ethic, man, and just having that great spirit to push all his other players up was very important for us.
Demetrius Frazier, remembering his cousin Ahmaud Arbery. This is Buried Truths. I'm Hank Klibanoff.
Support for WABE's local coverage on maternal health and mortality comes from Georgia Health Initiative, whose mission is to inspire and promote collective action that advances health equity for all Georgians. Learn more at GeorgiaHealthInitiative.org. Support for WABE comes from 100 Miles, a nonprofit committed to preserving Georgia's 100-mile coast. Protecting this critical coastal ecosystem takes all of us. Watch the stories of the innovators and future leaders who help keep our coast flowing at OurGeorgiaCoast.org.
Demetrius Frazier, after high school, went on to play college football. In fact, several of the players from the Brunswick High School football teams, when Demetrius and Ahmaud played, went on to the pros. Ahmaud didn't make it to college ball, much less the NFL. He was named to the Georgia-Florida All-Star team in his senior year, but college scouts thought he was just too small to move up. But he didn't stop influencing his friends. Demetrius Frazier recalls that his own college team was being scouted by the NFL, and he had high hopes. But the first game of the season of his senior year, Frazier badly injured his knee. The injury was crushing. He didn't want to go to therapy. He didn't even want to get out of bed. He figured he was done. And that's when he got a call from Ahmaud.
He said, "Cuz, man, I'm so proud of you." He said, "A lot of people don't make it this far." And he said to me, "I'm not talking in the sense of your career is ending, but it's just another challenge that you got to overcome." You know, and a lot of times in life, you know, we go through things, bro, and you do not understand why God is doing it to you. But you got to get through this. And after I got off that call with him, man, I went into treatment. I built myself back up. I had to have surgery like a month or so after. I took treatment head on after that. I recovered. When I say I recovered so quick, man, and I felt so good. But I will promise you, if I didn't get that call from Mark, I don't know where I'd be today. So that was one of my biggest Mar moments. And I always, that's why I call it the Mar moment. He that's one moment he changed my life.
Justin Coleman plays cornerback for the Detroit Lions. He was one of the players from Brunswick High who made it all the way to the pros. And he played football with Ahmad and considered him a friend.
My brother was best friends with his brother. My younger brother was best friends with him. And then I went to school, like I was classmates with their sister. So it just, we were just all kind of like, you know, growing up together and knowing each other for that long period of time.
This is from a press conference that the Detroit Lions set up with sports writers, and they posted it on their Facebook page. Not long after Ahmad died, Coleman says he was talking with Tracy Walker, Ahmad's cousin, who is also an NFL player and a Brunswick grad.
I mean, one thing I told him is that I just remember Ahmad saying something like he not sure what his purpose of his life was, but I was just thinking in my head, like, dang, like, I mean, your purpose basically, you know what I'm saying, was like to start this movement, like try to change the world. Cause it's like now, you know, your life does have a purpose. Your name is being, you know, continuously talked about every single day now.
After high school, Ahmad enrolled in technical school to learn how to become an electrician. He didn't finish, but before he died, he told friends he had signed back up and was planning to return. He mostly worked for his father in his landscaping and his truck washing businesses. And Ahmad's family, to a person, has only the fondest memories of Ahmad. His mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, told the Associated Press in May that her son was the humblest individual that you could ever meet.
Ahmad cared, Ahmad was kind, Ahmad was well-mannered. Ahmad was, like I basically say all the time, to know Ahmad is to love Ahmad. And I really wish people could have really got to know Ahmad.
And for what the men on Satilla Drive took away from her, she says?
Honestly, I really do think that the parties involved should be given the death penalty. You know, my son wasn't, he was shot and killed. I think that they should give what Ahmad got.
We spoke with Ahmad's aunt, Kim Abre, who talked about the many times the families would get together. She says they had a special bond, and every time Ahmad left her home, he said one particular phrase.
My other niece and nephew, they would always say, "We're getting ready to go," but Ahmad always tell me, "Auntie, be careful, and I love you." His word was always that.
In high school, young Ahmad was known for his endurance on the football field and for being the class comedian.
Yeah, he was one of those, man, Ahmad was so goofy. he would make a lot of faces, especially in moments when it was supposed to be quiet. I'm just being honest. We can be in, it can be right after the team meeting. You know, Coach Vaughn is one of those exciting people, but he just, sometimes Coach Vaughn will holler and, you know, fussing or at a player for doing something, you know, they shouldn't supposed to be, weren't supposed to be doing. But it was kind of funny because Ahmad would, like, just do whatever he did, and we'd just bust out laughing.
And for another insight into Ahmad's humor, you really need to hear again from his friend Justin Coleman and a comment he made in that press conference that the Detroit Lions arranged.
You know, he was always, you know, a funny person in general. Like, he was like a comedian, and you know, everything he said to me was like made me crack and laugh. I could just remember on the football field one time where he had to, I guess he had to like tackle someone, and he came back on the sideline and was like, he just was like, "Man, that's a grown man out there." Like, it just made me laugh. Like, in the midst of us losing the game, he always found a way to make somebody laugh, and that was a great characteristic about him.
I'm going to tell you about a couple of run-ins Ahmad had with the law. Before I do that, though, I want to tell you about the law that he had run-ins with. The Glenn County Police Department has long been a deeply troubled cop shop. In recent years, the police department or the DA's office or both have popped into news stories and headlines about official misbehavior that is sometimes startling and frequently embarrassing. Here's one example. The Caroline Small case. In 2010, Small, a 35-year-old mother of two with a history of addiction, led the Glenn police on a meandering, low-speed chase. Her divorce had become final a few days earlier. The officers finally cornered her, pinning her Buick between patrol cars and a telephone pole. All four of her tires were flat to the rims. Even as a state trooper was yelling that he would go and pull Small from her car, one of the Glenn officers called out, "If she moves the car, I'm going to shoot her." As the Glenn cops went for their guns, the state trooper backed off. Small, unarmed, clearly in mental distress, inched her car forward. And two county officers opened fire right through her front windshield. Small was shot 8 times in the face and the head. Afterward, the two officers bragged about their marksmanship. Neither cop was ever charged. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution later reported that the Glenn police covered up the case and that District Attorney Jackie Johnson maneuvered the grand jury into not indicting the two police officers. In 2018, the Glenn County Police Department lost its certification from the Commission on Accreditation of Law Enforcement and from the Georgia Association of Chiefs of Police. An audit found that weeks might elapse from the time a crime was reported to the time the case was assigned to an investigator. And it also found that the department was 86% white in a community that was 31% minority. And it said, Glenn County Police Department's use of force policy needed to be rewritten. More recently, a Glenn County narcotics officer was accused by his wife of sleeping with a confidential informant. Now, in this case, DA Jackie Johnson came down on the police. She claimed the department tried to cover up the affair. So she took the case to a grand jury and obtained a 20-count indictment accusing the police chief and three other police officers of violating their oath of office, attempting to influence witnesses, and other offenses. The indictment came down 4 days after Ahmaud Arbery was killed, throwing the department into disarray at the outset of that case.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Now, after graduation, Ahmaud hit a few rough patches. First, he was arrested for carrying a gun into an event at his old school in 2013. Near Christmas in 2017, security at a Brunswick Walmart said it watched him take a 65-inch flat-screen TV, and that brought him a felony shoplifting charge. Ahmad later pleaded guilty as a first offender, receiving probation but no jail time. And a month before the TV incident, Arbery had a disturbing encounter with two white police officers in a public park. On a crystal clear morning, he was sitting alone in his parked car when he was approached by Officer Michael Canego of the Glenn County Police. It was 9 a.m., November 7th, 2017, a Tuesday. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time on this encounter because it's practically a textbook example and a very raw example of what can happen when a white police officer confronts a black man he considers suspicious in the absence of any indication of a crime. I mean, this has to be exactly what profiling looks like, and it's all on tape. The video was later obtained by the Guardian newspaper in London. Ahmad is just sitting by himself in his parked car with the ignition off when the officer pulls up behind him, gets out, and approaches the car.
185 dispatch, I'll be on service.
This is the actual recording. Now, we've made some edits because it does go on quite long. And as you can hear, as yet, there is no tension in the exchange.
What's going on, man? What's your name? What is it? Ahmad. What you doing out here, man? You off work today?
Just rapping in the park.
Gotcha. You got an ID on you, man? Grab it with you, okay?
But then Canego retreats to his vehicle to call in Ahmad's ID and to run his car's license plate.
It's going to be 058.
Now, if you've ever been stopped by the police, you know this process takes a while. The dispatcher tells Canego that Ahmad has no outstanding charges, but reports that his driver's license has been suspended for failure to appear in court. The dispatcher either doesn't say, or you can't hear her say, what the offense was when Ahmad failed to appear.
Can I have my ID, please?
Yeah, give me a second, man.
The entire encounter could have ended there. The police officer could have warned Ahmad not to drive with the suspended license, told him to call for a ride, then left. But he doesn't, and Ahmad begins to grow impatient.
Why am I fucking with you? You want to know why I'm fucking with you?
Why?
Keep your hand in your pocket.
Ahmad complies instantly, but now he's clearly furious.
I ain't got shit on me. What the fuck you fucking with me for?
I'll tell you why I'm here, man.
Why?
I'll tell you why I'm
here.
Because this area is known for drug activity.
This area is known for drug activity, and a parked car, ignition off, driver alone, becomes suspected of involvement. Ahmad is indignant. He's moving around in frustration, a little to the left, a little to the right, backward, forward, his arms outstretched, his hands in motion.
Drug? How the fuck I'm drug attack when I work at Blue Beach?
Back up.
Check my shit.
Back
right?
up.
Now the officer calls dispatch and asks for support.
Send me another unit, please. Send me another
This
unit.
Was so close to being resolved, but now you can just feel the tension tightening.
Turn around, put your hands on the car. Wow. Turn around, put your hands on the car.
What's up? What
Turn around, put your hands on the car. I'm checking
you
for weapons.
Reason.
I'm checking you for weapons.
You got a reason to touch me, bro.
I'm not searching you. I'm checking you for weapons. All right, man? You don't have any warrants.
Fucking weapons, bro.
I know, but you're coming up on me. Make me kind of nervous, okay?
The officer says several times that Ahmad was coming up on him. And it appears that whatever the officer does is going to be justified as a response to that. But really, in the whole scenario, who came up on whom?
You bothering me for nothing.
Listen, man, I'm not here to ruin your day. I'm here to look for any kind of criminal activity. That's all I'm doing.
Criminal activity? I'm in a fucking park. I work. The fuck is you talking about? I fucking work. Check my damn history. Go to my job.
Okay.
See, call my job right now. I go
I don't
to work.
Need to call your job, man.
Shit, what the fuck you talking about? Go on my, don't go on my
Can't
motherfucking car.
I'm not going to your car.
Don't
Back go, up.
Bro, don't touch me, bro. You can't touch
Listen.
Me, bro. Don't touch my car and don't touch me.
I'm not touching your car.
Don't touch me,
I'm looking inside of your car.
My shit,
yeah, I'm 10-4. Send me another unit.
You can't touch me, bro. Straight up.
I'm not touching you. Okay?
That's 10-18.
What are you doing out here? You just chilling?
I'm chilling, bro. I'm rapping. I'm rapping in the car.
Okay. That's fine. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here.
What else you want from me?
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on out here, man.
I'm working, rapping. I rap.
Okay.
Damn, what the hell is you talking about?
I know, you're just acting very, you're jumping around, getting a little bit nervous on me.
We are now 4 minutes, 32 seconds into the encounter. It could have ended nicely 3 or 4 times. But now the second unit, driven by Officer D. Haney, has just arrived. Canego points to Ahmad's car and calls to Haney.
I think I see something plastic in the thing over here.
Here's where things go off the rails. The first officer doesn't fully brief Haney, who doesn't know Ahmad has already been checked for weapons. Haney, without hesitation or any obvious provocation, pulls out his taser, aims it at Ahmad, and pulls the trigger.
Just don't reach the car, man.
You can't have your pocket.
Hands out your pocket.
But the device malfunctions. This looks especially odd on the video because Ahmad has already submitted. He's standing there with his arms outstretched on either side when the taser starts clicking. He doesn't react at all. I may be misreading it, but he has a look on his face that seems to say, "What on earth are you doing?" Haney realizes he's had a misfire and becomes agitated. He starts yelling.
Warning, down.
Stay on the ground. Just stay on the ground, okay?
Keep your hands out. No, keep
your hands
out.
I've already checked him for weapons. I've checked him for weapons.
Okay.
Listen, man. I'm not here to mess with you, okay? I've been cool with you the entire time. You get out of the car, you come up on me.
Ahmad is now on his knees. His arms are still outstretched. I guess the best thing you can say at this point is that at least Haney resorted to his taser and not to his pistol. As we've seen over and over again, this is the way young black men often get killed by cops. An encounter quickly turns tense. It escalates out of control. Someone dies. In this case, the officer chose to use non-lethal force. It doesn't always play out that way.
Okay.
Still on his knees, Ahmad quickly regains his composure.
I got one day off a week. One day.
Okay.
One day off a week. I'm trying to chill on my day off, bro. I'm up early in the morning trying to chill.
I see. And I get that. I get one to chill too. But we get a lot of bad stuff that happens out here. We get gang and drug activity. We get all kinds of stuff out here.
My name tied up in any of that?
No, it is not.
Now, did you hear what Ahmad said when Canego told him about drug and gang activity in the vicinity? He said, "Is my name tied up in any of that?" And Canego says, "No, it is not." No, the officer has to admit, he's held up Ahmad all this time, made him face the car, put his hands on the trunk, searched him for weapons, forced him to his knees, and still he has to admit that Ahmad Arbery's name is not tied up in anything. Still, the officer won't give up. He points to Ahmad's car.
So you don't have anything in the car? Because I looked in the middle of your car in the center console. I saw some kind of plastic in there. If it's weed, I don't care. So with that being said, you mind if I just look in your car really quick? Would you be okay with that?
Why are you checking in my car?
You can say no if you don't want us to check your car. Okay. That's all we need, man. Just kind of weird. We don't see cars sitting out here that often. That's all that is, man. Okay?
Okay. Now I'm on my knees for nothing. I got on my day off.
Here's your ID back, man. Okay?
8 minutes and 4 seconds into the encounter, Canego tells Ahmad he is free to go. But not free to drive away. He's been driving on that suspended license, Canego said, and he can't lawfully drive his car. Finally, Ahmad simply jogs away. As his image recedes, Officer Haney walks over to talk to Officer Canego. We're going to keep the tape rolling here to give you a rare opportunity to listen in on the conversation these police officers continue to have, even after their so-called suspect had jogged away.
Screwed up, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he was very, very jumpy.
A minute later, The first officer is still talking about marijuana.
Smell the inside of his car. You know, tell me if you can smell anything that smells like weed. It smells like more cigarette, but there is like a burnt weed smell in that car. I just couldn't get close enough to tell.
Haney agrees there's a weed smell. The first officer proposes that they have the car towed in and examined. But even Haney is skeptical.
What do you think? Can we do that?
What would you tow it for?
It's on,
show me out 5-8.
It's improperly parked.
Park's not closed.
Gotcha.
At 10 minutes and 24 seconds, a third officer arrives. He's identified on Conego's incident report as M. Spencer, and he is obviously a supervisor. Conego, who had just said, smells more of a cigarette, now tells his supervisor he smelled marijuana. But Arbery wouldn't let him check the car.
So,
did you let him go?
Yeah, he's out. He's on that. He's in that coat walking down Townsend.
Okay.
He was very aggravated.
Was a malfunction?
Yeah, that was.
I tried to tase him.
You did try to tase him?
Yeah.
It got to the point where you had to tase
him? Well, it was, I didn't realize he'd already pat him down for weapons, and I could see there's like a wallet or something, and I could see him going like that, and he had a big heavy coat on.
Yeah.
He just wasn't moving fast enough. But
if you didn't hear what the officer said, let me repeat it. He said Ahmad wasn't moving fast enough. Think about that. Today, Ahmad wasn't moving fast enough for the white officers. But in February 2020, at Satilla Shores, his white pursuers, armed civilians in trucks, were infuriated that Ahmad was moving too fast, that he wouldn't stop, that he wouldn't obey. So what does that mean when not moving fast enough and moving too fast are the same thing? I mean, it seems to mean, and it seems to occur, when white people who are in authority or thinking they're in authority are rationalizing some reason to assert control over a black person. I mean, how many times has one of those expressions by a white man or white woman become a justification for harassing, punishing, or even killing a black person?
Put in the call.
The supervisor, Spencer, begins to walk back to his car, and the first officer calls after him, and he seems to be fixated on something that he says looks like seeds. You know, marijuana seeds.
Since he's no longer here, and now I smell weed coming from the car, do we search that vehicle or just leave it be for now?
You see the seeds? They're in plain view?
I see what looks like marijuana, and I put my nose up to the open window right here.
You see the seed right now?
It looks like it. Right in the center console, that plastic wrapping. Does it look like seeds to you?
I can't tell what it is. I wouldn't mess with it.
Yeah.
As the supervisor walks away, he seems to say something about the incident being worth all that.
Yeah, I just smell weed, so.
Not wanted.
I'm going to check to see if he has anything in previous concealment, and I'll probably just do a quick incident report here, just because there was a possibility he was attempted to be tased, and his taser didn't go off, so I will probably just do an India on this one just to secure everything in case somebody claims excessive force or something like that. What do you think?
Did he hear it go off?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What did he say when that happened?
I don't quite remember. It was all heat of the moment. We got him down on the ground on his knees to keep him calm.
You verbally got him on the ground or you
physically? Yeah, verbally. Verbally got him on his knees.
Yeah, I'll do a report on it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he's definitely doing a lot more than just chilling on a Tuesday morning. So I'll do a quick report.
He was doing a lot more than just chilling? Like what? Officer Conego took nearly 700 words to write his incident report. An incident report in which there was no incident to report, other than two white cops confronting a black man and trying to tase him. In the end, Conego has essentially described nothing at all. No drugs, no weapons, no stolen property, no criminal offense of any kind. And yet, his incident report is headed suspicious person.
Need
We have called and left messages with both the Glenn County Police Chief and the Police Department's Public Information Officer. We wanted to discuss this and other police encounters with Ahmaud Arbery. We also wanted to ask about the initial police report that was essentially Greg McMichael's version of the fatal encounter. Neither the police chief nor the public information officer has returned our calls. I have to tell you that it's hard to shake, and it's impossible to unhear that disturbing 2017 police encounter with Ahmaud in the park. It leaves me with questions, one in particular. And in my head now, I'm hearing the question the 911 operator would ask a little more than 2 years later when a caller reports that a black man, that was Ahmaud, has entered a house under construction. Well, I want the same answer the 911 operator wanted. Remember?
Okay. I just need to know what he was doing wrong.
Coming up on the next episode of Buried Truths.
And so this idea that a descendant of the Geechees couldn't run wherever he wanted to run infuriated me, and still does. Because black people made the Golden Isles what it is.
To link these two men is to connect Ahmaud Arbery to royalty among enslaved peoples.
Buried Truths is produced by WABE Atlanta. Our senior producer is David Baraswain, writing by Hank Klibanoff and Richard Hallecks. Our executive producers are J.N. Berry and John Hawes. Special thanks to Scott Wolfel, Stephen Key, Alita McCalman, Kendall Foote, and Raphael Fetrot. Hank Klibanoff is a former newspaper reporter and editor and co-author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Race Beat. He's also a professor at Emory University, where he directs the Georgia Civil Rights Cold Cases Project. We want to extend a special thanks to the Emory students who helped with this season of Buried Truths. Jake Bush, Hannah Cherick, Jordan Flowers, Cameron Katz, and Sage Mason spent the summer of 2020 investigating the Ahmaud Arbery case. Thanks also to student Rowan Thomas, whose earlier research contributed to this season. Visit buriedtruths.org to find lesson plans based on prior seasons of the podcast and discussion questions for your next podcast club. You can also sign up for our newsletter, and that's where you can support Buried Truths by making a donation. Again, that's at buriedtruths.org. On social, we're at Buried Truths Pod. Please look us up and follow us. And if you haven't already, take a moment to rate the show on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. It'll help more people find this important podcast. Thank you for listening to Buried Truths.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you donated to WABE yet? I know you've heard us talking about why it's important, but it doesn't have to be this big decision. You can give at whatever amount fits your budget. It can be a spur-of-the-moment thing. You already get so much out of public radio, so just go for it. Visit wabe.org/donate and become a member right now. And thank you.